Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about Christmas. We ended our last program with those wonderful words from John 14. The Word became flesh. God became a baby and dwelt among us. He has walked these roads. He has subjected himself to everything that human beings are subjected to. He was tempted as we are tempted. And he has been through the valley. He has been over the course. The Word was God. And I'd like for us to go back to the most ancient book in the Bible, the book of Job. And in chapter 12, we read this: Wisdom and might are his. With him are firmness and understanding. If he pulls down, there is no rebuilding. If he imprisons, there is no release. If he holds up the waters, there is drought. If he lets them go, they turn the land upside down. That is the one who became a baby. The one who has the power to pull down and there's no rebuilding, the power to imprison and there's no release, the power to hold up the waters and there's drought, and the power to let them go and they turn the land upside down. And then in the 38th chapter of Job, we have a magnificent description of who God is. This is when Job has finally shut up after pouring out chapter after chapter of his complaints and arguments with God and questions. And then it says, the Lord answered Job out of the tempest. Who is this whose ignorant words cloud my design in darkness? Brace yourself and stand up like a man. I will ask questions, and you shall answer. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you know and understand. Who settled its dimensions? Surely you should know. Who stretched his measuring line over it? And I'm skipping here. Who set its cornerstone in place? Who watched over the birth of the sea when it burst in flood from the womb? When I wrapped it in a blanket of cloud and cradled it in fog. I'd like us to pause right there. Here's Almighty God likening the tremendous ocean to a tiny infant. And he's saying, I watched over the birth of the sea when it burst in flood from the womb. And then he says, I wrapped it in a blanket of cloud and cradled it in fog. Just as a father might pick up that squirming, wet form of his newborn child and wrap it in a blanket. Here's God talking to Job about his power. In all your life, have you ever called up the dawn or shown the morning its place? Have you taught it to grasp the fringes of the earth and shake the dog star from its place? Have you descended the springs of the sea or walked in the unfathomable deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you ever seen the doorkeepers of the place of darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the world? Which is the way to the home of light? Have you visited the storehouse of the snow or seen the arsenal where hail is stored? Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose Orion's belt? Well, I haven't time to read the whole chapter. That's the 38th chapter of Job. But when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, do you think of that staggering contrast? God the Father Almighty, the one who watched the birth of the sea, the one who set the dog star in its place and built the storehouses of the snow. Do you think of him born of a virgin? Do you believe that? We Christians claim that we do. We affirm our faith. All Christians believe that. There are many different varieties of Christians and different labels, aren't they? But you can't be a Christian and not believe in God the Father Almighty and in his Son, Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. Those are the tenets of our faith. We mouth these stupendous truths. Do we stop, ponder, marvel? Do we ever shut up long enough to grasp who it was who lay, perhaps squalling like any newborn, that thin cry that any mother knows, in that cattle shed? One of the most beautiful expressions of the humiliation, the humbling of Almighty God when he came into earth as a baby, is found in a poem written back in the 17th century by Richard Crashaw. And I've sent this out many times on Christmas cards. I feel as though there's no expression of what the incarnation was about more magnificent than Crashaw's words. And I read them myself every Christmas. This is just a part of Crashaw's longer poem. But this describes what happened. That the great angel-blinding light should shrink his blaze to shine in a poor shepherd's eye. That the unmeasured God so low should sink as prisoner in a few poor rags to lie. That from his mother's breast he milk should drink, who feeds with nectar heaven's fair family. That a vile manger his low bed should prove, who in a throne of stars thunders above. That he whom the sun, S-U-N, that he whom the sun serves should faintly peep through clouds of infant flesh. That he, the old eternal word, should be a child and weep. That he who made the fire should fear the cold. That heaven's high majesty his court should keep in a clay cottage, by each blast controlled. That glory's self should serve our griefs and fears, and free eternity submit to years. Let our overwhelming wonder be. The peace on earth that the angels sang about. What does this mean? The coming of Jesus brings peace to us because it unites us with the source of our being and gives us life. He came to us and he asks us to open the door to him, to surrender ourselves in oneness of being with him who is life. If our lives give glory to God, then they will also bring peace to men. But there is no peace except from the Prince of Peace. And I think that's one thing that we need to be reminded of, especially at Christmas time. We all know those words, peace on earth. And we look around and we say, what a hollow mockery. What a screaming farce. Where's the peace? Why is it that for 2,000 years, men are still fighting Well, the answer is because we have not united ourselves with him who is the Prince of Peace. That's what all our lives are meant to be, a union with him, a surrender to him, an identifying of ourselves with him, a giving glory to God. If all is done in obedience to him, then all our most humble tasks, most homey and human tasks, can give glory to God. Now, I know that there are some children listening to this program, and I'm talking about profound things that are maybe much too deep for you to understand. If you were a shepherd, you might give Jesus a lamb for Christmas. If you were a wise man, you might be able to bring gifts like gold and frankincense and myrrh. But most of us are just very ordinary folks. And the one thing that God wants more than anything else, far more important to him than a lamb or even than gold, is our hearts. He wants us to give our hearts to him first of all. And when we do this and live our lives in humble obedience with him, then we can begin to give peace to others. Can you think of a more wonderful Christmas gift that you could give to someone else than the peace of God? Peace, you know, is really as infectious as panic. But if my own soul is quietly at rest in God, then others will share my peace because I share his.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.